and sometimes by your goodness toward us and your faithfulness, Lord. And this morning we want to do as the psalmist says, and we want to feed off your faithfulness, God. We thank you that whatever happens, wherever we go, in the beginning of a new year, we can stand firm on the foundation that is Christ, Lord, and know that you do not change, God. You are good toward us, Lord. You are good to all. We thank you that your rain that you send falls on the just and the unjust, Lord. Your goodness abounds, God. We honor you for that, Lord. We thank you. And as we spend this time in your word, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher. We welcome you, Lord. We open our hearts. We acknowledge, Lord, we are so limited in our understanding and in our revelation, Lord. And we ask that you'd come and bring a fresh revelation of who Christ is, that you'd bring a fresh revelation of the Father, Lord. That you'd lead us into truth this morning, God. We are not so much here for any opinion of man, Lord, but we have a desire, Lord, to know you, and we have a desire to be like Christ, Lord. We have a desire for your kingdom to come in and through our lives, Lord. So we just consecrate this time to you, Lord. Have your way, Lord, and let your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. Try to get a light visual this day, then we can all see it sort of working. So my father is an architect, so I grew up around stuff like this. Blueprints, they're all over the house. Those years, it wasn't at the beginning, it wasn't all computerized yet. So my dad had this massive drawing board thing with U-trailers and stuff, and put together all these plans, and then sometimes even build the models. Nowadays they just plug it all into a computer, and then the computer renders the image in it, and then you sometimes they even model it for you. But amazing how that all comes together. And the theme for Shofar for the year is called God's Building. It's really exciting, and we'll talk about a bit more about it on the 17th specifically. I'm just going to touch on a few bits around it, but I want to read for us from Psalm 147, which is one of the key scriptures that God has given us for the year. I'm going to read from this one. There you go. Go right. Oh, yeah, at the end. Go left, all the way. Go left, and then we'll start again. There we go. Good. Okay, Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There's a few keys that come out here. The Lord builds, he gathers, he heals, and he binds up their wounds. So powerful. The picture of God, the builder, but also the one who gathers those who are even far, and is hard to heal and to bind up. So that's kind of just a powerful picture of God the Father at the beginning of the new year, the one who's a builder, but he also is the one who calls us to build with him. Can you look at that for a moment in just a while? But also, he gathers us together, he heals the broken heart, he binds up the wounds. And at the beginning of this new year, as we look at this theme, I'm trusting for us to get a fresh revelation of who God is as a builder, and who we are as building with him in this community, and in people's lives around us, and even allowing God to build and establish in our own life and through us. You know? Now, I remember growing up, sometimes we would go to a site of a proposed building, right? And I remember one specific one, which was in the north of Pretoria, where we're actually moving to now. And it was a game farm, kind of private game reserve, where you could build houses. Okay. And so this is proper bush, right? So there's animals and elephants and stuff. I'm not kidding. If the elephants want, they can come visit you at your house. It's quite exciting. The lions are in their own camp, so it's not that extreme. But just picture this. So this is proper bush, and in this part there weren't that many houses yet, so you couldn't see any buildings. And it's just this, the bit of rock and bush and just trees and stuff, beautiful. And my dad was explaining to me what this is all going to look like. Now, there's probably a reason why I didn't turn out to be an architect or something like that, because it really takes a gift to be able to see something when there's nothing. Right? It's beautiful, but there's no building, and there's no foundation, there's no lines drawn, there's no markers, there's nothing. But my dad, he exactly said, this is where this is going to be, and that's how it's going to look, and this is. And he was explaining everything, and obviously then with the schematics and the drawings and stuff. But it's such a powerful picture of how faith operates. Faith is, let's just look at what Hebrews says about faith. Go on to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it kind of links in with that picture, because there is nothing there, right? But yet, the architect, the one that has drawn the plans, and then the builders, they have to have some idea of what this will be before they start. Otherwise, it's going to be chaos. There has to be this element of seeing something that is yet not yet there. And faith works like this. Faith is the... Rick Warren actually says that faith is seeing from God's point of view. In other words, seeing for ahead. Seeing something that is not yet there. Seeing evidence of something that is not yet proven. Seeing that can't be touched yet. Substance of things, something that you're only hoping for, but yet is so real that you know it's there. It's gonna happen. That is what faith is. And it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's not psyching myself up, it's not that. It's more allowing or trusting for me to see what God sees, whether it is about myself, or whether it most important is seeing what God sees and seeing who He is in a certain situation or in my life. Amen. And so at the beginning of a new year, I'm trusting for us to take a step forward in terms of saying, Lord, I want to see you through the eyes of faith in this year. I want to grow in my ability to see what you see. I want to grow in my discernment to hear what's on your heart, to hear what you're saying, and to actually see what you see in every situation I'm in. Looking through the eyes, I'm going to look at that a bit more later, but it's if you're a builder or an architect, you have to have that ability to be able to see ahead. I believe God is calling us to, as we look at this theme, to see what He sees, to see His master plan, and to partner with Him in that. Alright, let's look at let's look at 1 Corinthians. Actually, 1 Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. There's a lot there now. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit. This is a prayer written down. May give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that not only in this age, but not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So all of this amazing stuff that he talks about here, he says, he prays that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. And that is my prayer for us. I want you to pray this, pray with me, that God would open the eyes of faith, open our eyes of faith, the eyes of our the spirit, this is the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is. Then it speaks of the hope of his calling, it speaks of the riches of the glory of his inheritance, it speaks of the exceeding greatness of his power, and then how that power worked in Christ and raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places. And I believe that it's so important for us at the beginning of a new year to stand still, to really find, and we spoke about this in the last year, to find time to pray through what's lying ahead, to take stock, to look back at the year, to the past, to celebrate God's faithfulness and goodness, to celebrate how far he's brought us, but also to take a moment to say, Lord, you know, just a moment of consecration, but then also a moment of saying, Lord, show me, give me the eyes of faith, open my eyes of faith that I might see what you see, that I might position myself to build with you. You don't want to be breaking down when God is building. I mean, you don't want to be going a different direction when God is building here or there. You know, that's one of the key things is that on the building sites, things need to be coordinated properly. Rob will tell you a lot of things about building projects as he's just at the end of one now. But if things aren't properly coordinated, just chaos. There's timelines and people have to wait for other people to finish before they. And there's really an aspect of us, a very powerful, important aspect of us being in step with the Holy Spirit in terms of building, in terms of Him directing what's happening. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians 3, from 9 to 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, when the building obviously starts, there is the foundation which is laid, and that in itself is a massive process, and all of that happens. I don't know if you've seen the foundation of a proper high-rise building. It's quite scary when they're busy with that, because obviously when they're starting with the building, you don't know how high it's going to be. Okay, so obviously they know, but anybody walking past can just see there's like stuff happening and people digging. But if the building is going to be proper high, guys, the first thing that happens is the guys go down and they dig for ages, and I don't know if you've walked past one of these sites and you kind of get a glimpse in, and it goes really far down. It's quite crazy. Now, depending on what the building is, obviously it also makes a difference. I worked in a building once when I was in the Air Force. It had more floors under than it above. That's a bit of a different scenario, but that was for military reasons. And nuclear bunker reasons and stuff like that, but it's crazy how far down the guys have to go to really establish a firm foundation if you want to build really strongly and really, you know, go quite high. Christ is the foundation that has been laid, and what the picture that I had is if you laid a strong foundation, and if your life is built on Christ. The Lord, there's no limit to what God can do. Amen. When the right foundation is laid in your life in Christ, there's no limit to what God can build. But the picture that God gave me is he showed me that if you have a house that has a strong foundation in one part, but a weak foundation in another part, at some point there's going to be problems. Or even no foundation in another part, or kind of a different foundation. There are going to be serious problems because the earth moves. I don't know if you realize this. There's stuff moving all the time, and more so in different parts of the world than others. But even without seismic activity, if the foundation is not one unit across the whole building, you're going to have the wrong kind of movement later on. And you have massive cracks happening and actually a tearing apart happening. So the picture that I had of God saying, make sure that this foundation in Christ is across the whole building. And that, in terms of our own lives, sometimes we find ourselves limiting God, saying, Lord, yes, you know, you are Lord of my life. All of it. Except this part of the side here. This little room here is for that stuff that it's too painful, or there's a reason why we sometimes feel we can't trust God with a part of our past, or something that we're struggling with, or something that you're wrestling through. But I had such a feeling that God is extending grace to say, open that door, open that part of your life to Him, so that He can be Lord over the whole thing, so that there can be no part that will cause destruction later on. Amen. So that because what happens is that part will tear down the rest of the house, and it will, you know, do massive damage when it breaks away and there's movement and stuff happens. So the picture I had of making sure that the whole foundation, and you can draw this, you can pull this across to your marriage, to your family, to us as a church. If the whole building is found on the foundation that is Christ, there's no limit to what God is going to do. Amen. Okay. Okay, I have to go a bit faster. Maybe we'll continue next week, but let's go. Alright, so we are fellow builders, but we're also God's building. Let's look at Ephesians 2, from 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And it refers even to us being living stones, being built together. And now, the thing about the stones, now, when the guys are doing the bricklaying, have you seen bricklayers at work? If the really skilled bricklayers are, like, it's actually quite amazing to see. Not only how they, I think they do it different in different parts of the world, but sometimes even just how they get the bricks up there is quite interesting and amazing to see. But even just the speed and precision with which the guys work is really amazing to see. But there's, even though there's a lot of speed, every brick gets attention, because if you mess it up with one, it's very difficult to go and fix it later on. And every brick gets the right amount of attention and detail so that it can be at the right place. And if you've ever seen a German person build, you know, you get a picture. No, I'm just kidding. But the picture of God, the builder, taking you and I. And the picture I had when I think about this is, of one of those houses that we do see in Africa a lot is people that build houses from natural stone. And it's really a very tricky thing to do, but it's really beautiful to see. But it you know, no stone is the same as any other. They're all natural. They're all just random stones. And in God's building, it's almost like that, because none of us are the same. There's specific shapes, and God makes it fit together so beautifully that He's building us into a dwelling place, it says, for Him, for God and His Spirit. But that means that each of us are placed by the Master Builder into a very specific place that we fit in. And what that is, that we fit into the big picture. And it might just be, yes, it might be a massive building, and you or I are just a very small part. But the key is that there is a very specific shape there where you fit in. And my challenge for us this morning, at the beginning of this new year, is how can you flourish? Are you in the building? Have you allowed the Master Builder? Because this is an amazing builder. This builder, God the Master Builder, he only builds with the stones that give him permission. Sounds a bit weird. But he doesn't force us into his master plan. He invites us. So I'm asking, have you accepted the invitation to be a part of the building? And then secondly, if you're in, are you filling your hole in the body, in the building that is the body of Christ? Are you really in that place? Are you flourishing in that place that God has put you in? And I really feel there's a grace for us at the beginning of the year to hear from God, to pray through stuff like this, to say, Lord, I want to flourish in the place that you've put me. Another part of Scripture talks about God planting us and us flourishing as trees, you know, bearing fruit. Where have you been planted? Where have you been put? And what environment are you in that God has put you in to really flourish and grow and be established and bear fruit that are worthy of repentance? Okay. Now, Christ being the foundation, I just want to quickly touch on this, that part of the most important part of, I believe, our discipleship process of being disciples, that means followers of Christ, becoming like Him, and also disciple makers, in other words, walking the same road with somebody else while we are still being made into Christ's image. So there's always a me following someone else and following Christ, but there's always an element of me taking the hand of somebody else and saying, listen, I've only taken these few steps, but I can help you with these steps because I know these. And it's such a great time for us to take stock again and say, okay, New Year's resolutions are great. I saw this thing on social media. These techie guys, they were saying, what is your resolution for 2016? And then it says, what, 1280 times, what is it, 720 something. You know, screen resolution? lost you there for a moment. So this one guy says, yeah, my resolution for 2016 is, and then he just gave this number, which is a screen resolution. Anyway, sorry, that's a very bad, nerdy kind of joke, but I thought it was funny. But, so I'm not, those are, New Year's resolutions normally last for, what, depending on how you approach them, not very long. But I found that if I look at Christ and I say, Lord, what are you doing in my life? What is it that you are establishing in my life? What is it that, in which areas of my life do I need to be transformed in this year? You know, if I have a conviction, which this specific conviction I have quite a lot, that I want to grow in the dad that I am to my children, then what would it mean for me to become a better father that is more like Christ? What would it mean for me to be a husband that is more like Christ? And you can pull that through to most parts of your life. And the bottom line is that we are becoming like Him. Isn't that a crazy thought? It's a bit scary. It's a long road to go for me. I know some of you are close. But we are being made into the image of Christ. So part of what I'm challenging us with is take time out and say, Lord, what are the places that you want me want to shape me? What are the things that you want to establish in my life? In which ways do I need to become more like Christ? And in the same way, it's greater at the end of the year to go back to these things and say, okay, Lord, how did I become more like Christ this year? I'm challenging myself here, guys. But part of this, and this is a big part of it, if this is very difficult to do on your own, so I want to really encourage you, find that person that you can share this with. Say, listen, this is what I feel. These are two main points that I feel God is working in me at the moment. Can you stand faith with me? Let's have a chat once a month and we can talk about these things. So that we don't get to the end of the year and say, oh, yeah, you know, I really had a conviction, but then the next day, I forgot the thing, you know. Really, that one can we hold each other accountable to what God is actually laying on our hearts for the year. Okay. Amen. All right, so, looking through the eyes of faith, let's look first, what is the other side of the coin? When we look through the eyes of fear. Looking through the eyes of fear happens quite a lot. So that's why it's important for us to recognize what happens when we do that, so we cannot do that. Amen? So when we look through the eyes of fear, we tend to exaggerate the difficulty, while at the same time underestimating our own abilities, but most importantly underestimating God's ability. So those things, the mountains become huge, and it gets a bit gloomy. Okay, looking through the eyes, I'm just going to run through these things quite quickly. If you remember the account of the spies being sent out into the promised land to go and spy out the land. So the nation of Israel traveling through the wilderness, they're traveling to the land that God has promised to them, the land of Canaan. They arrive there and they're going to check it out. And there are 12 spies. I'm going to put on the heating again. It's getting chilly. It is winter after all. So excuse the sound. So they get sent out to go and check out the land, and 12 spies go out. And the amazing thing always for me is those 12 guys, they went to look at the same land, right? But they came back with different reports. And it's because 10 of those were looking through the eyes of fear, and 2 of those were looking through the eyes of faith, right? Now the guys that were, if you go and look at Numbers, it's Numbers 13, 33. The guys that were looking through the eyes of fear, actually, said, we were like grasshoppers, because they were referring to these massive giants that were in this land. But the key in that scripture says, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Right? They had that perception that we were like grasshoppers, and they were looking through the eyes of fear. They were thinking, this is no way. This is a great place, but there's no way we can take this land. The enemy is too overwhelming. The odds are too great. The mountains are... We can't get over these odds. The giants are too big. They're going to annihilate us. The key there is that in their own eyes, they were like grasshoppers. So They were looking through the eyes of fear. And when we look through the eyes of fear, this is what happens. We exaggerate the difficulties and we underestimate what God wants to do in and through us, what He's able to do in and through us. Furthermore, when we look through the eyes of fear, we get discouraged, we criticize, we often give up, and we end up blaming God as well. Isn't that amazing? When we're looking through the eyes of fear, it's so easy to get gloomy about stuff, we get discouraged, we get heavy about stuff, and we criticize, whether it's ourselves or those around us, and then we easily give up, and then we end up getting upset with God. Things aren't working out as I thought they would, things aren't going my way, and we end up having this bitterness towards God. So be aware of those things, be vigilant against them. In terms of faith, when we look through the eyes of faith, faith shrinks any problem. Amen. We look through the eyes of faith, we are convinced that anything is possible with God. That there's nothing that is impossible with Him. When we look at the report of Joshua and Caleb, they said, let's do this. This is a good land. This is the amazing fruit of the land. This is the land of milk and honey. This is the land of massive crops. You know, this is just such a rich land that God has prepared for us. It's our land. He has given it to us. Let's go. Do you see the stark contrast there? These guys were looking through the eyes. They were seeing the same information. They were seeing the same land. They were welding their report on the same stats and the same everything. But they had a completely different way of looking at it. And they were saying, God has given it to us. Let's do this. Yeah. Faith pleases God. And God responds to faith. And this is a difficult one. You know, when you're afraid, you struggle to hear God, and when there's fear, you struggle to trust God for stuff, and then there's no faith because there's fear, and then God doesn't respond because God doesn't respond well to fear. You know, it's just not a good cycle. So if you're in it, I've been in it, trust me, just repent of that fear. Just chuck out the fear and the confusion. You might have to do it often, okay? But do it so that we can walk in faith. Faith opens the door to miracles. Faith opens the door for God to do whatever He wants to do. Then there's no more limit. There's no more ceiling. There's no more up to here and nothing. You know, there's no more limit to what is possible. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now we often quote that first part there, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Go, yeah! Which is amazing, right? So you go at your according to your wildest dreams, your greatest expectations, and then you know you've fallen short. God has even got more prepared. Amen. But the key here is that God says He will, He wants to, He reveals it to us. It's not like He wants to keep it that way that we don't have a clue. He actually wants to show us. He actually wants to show us what He has prepared. He wants to reveal it to us through His Spirit. But that happens when we look, and we walk, and we look through the eyes of faith. That's what happens when we allow Holy Spirit to open our eyes. It happens when we recognize that we have do not have the spirit of the world, but we have the spirit which is, who is from God, that we may know, as it says here, things that have been freely given to us by God. I mean, I'm going to need to close. If you want to, when we look through the eyes of faith, it gives us the power to persevere through the paths that are difficult. Looking through the eyes of faith and allowing and looking through from God's point of view at the building process that's happening allows us to persevere through the paths that are difficult. Amen. If you would stand with me for a moment. We're going to pray a little bit. Excuse me. I can't remember this guy's name now. Steve. Somebody. Okay, you can get it from me later. But he said, what is believed and what we believe and what we think about something is more important than what we do about it. Now this goes against everything in our performance culture. You know, but if we look at scripture, we see that's how God operates. So if we change the way we think, if we change the way we look at something, if we look from God's perspective, that's the most important part of starting point. And from that obviously it follows what we do about it, how we act, how we worship God, how we obey Him. But we start at the point where we look from His perspective. And I feel there's a place of grace for us at the beginning of the year to say, Lord, rewire if you need to. Do a reset. Do a reboot in my thinking if you need to. But I need to see what you see. I need to see through the eyes of faith. I need to see from the perspective of the architect and master builder and chief cornerstone, all of those in one. I need to see what you see. And as you know, if you remember what Jesus said to Jairus, he said that when the news came that his daughter was already dead, and he just said, do not fear, only believe. What he believes, he says, is more important than anything else. He doesn't say, pray harder, have more faith, work harder, serve God more. No, he just said, believe. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that at the beginning of the new year we can look to you, God. We can look through the cross, because that's where faith starts, Lord. Where you've made right, you've made man right with yourself, or you've actually created the opportunity for us to be made right with you, Lord, at the cross. That's where it starts, and that's where we are able to put on the glasses of faith. We are able to look through the eyes of faith when we have been renewed, when we have been born again, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've demonstrated your love in such a powerful way, that you've given every soul the opportunity to be in relationship with you, Lord. Thank you that you sent your Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame. As it says, for the joy that was set before you, God. We thank you that you didn't stop halfway, Lord. You didn't do any half measures, but you pushed through, Lord, until you not only died, but you rose again. You overcame sin and death. You paid the price that we were supposed to pay. You paid on our behalf. This price of our sin, the price of our shame, our guilt, the price of our pain, our sickness. Thank you, Jesus, that you bore the weight of every curse for us, that we can have a fullness of life. fullness of relationship with you. This morning, as every eye is closed, if the beginning of this new year, if you know that you need to make a shift, you know that you're not right with God, you know that maybe there's a recalibration that you have, needs to happen, maybe you've never been in a relationship with God, you've never heard His voice, or maybe you have been close, but now you find yourself far. Know that this morning the cross remains, and the invitation is just as relevant today as ever. He's saying, my son, my daughter, come. Come to me. I've paid the highest price for you. I've laid down my life. I've given everything so that we can have a relationship again. So that you can be a part of this master plan. So that you can be a part of this glorious, glorious thing. This glorious kingdom that's coming. That you can be a part, that you can flourish, that you can blossom, that you can be fruit, that you can be all that I've created you to be in the plan that I have for this world, for this universe. If that's you this morning and you know you need to make a change, I'm not going to call you forward, but I'd like you just where you are, just to raise your hand. Every eye is closed. It's not for me. If you could just indicate to God, Lord, it's me today. I want to make a shift. I want to draw near to you. I'm not where I should be, but I choose today. I choose to draw near to you. Thank you. If you've raised your hand, you can put it.